At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Huge thank you to everyone in the live chat. We had a wild night last night with Jaguar in the live. Thank you for all your questions. We did try and get through as many of them as possible, but the chat was going lightning speed. Tonight, we have got Charlie Robinson coming in, who's a researcher on the NWO and wrote the book, The Octopus of Global Control, talking about the club. Then we have got Tommy Scoville coming in at 9 UK. So we've got 20, 25 minutes with me. Then we've got an hour with Charlie. And then we've got another two with Tommy. So a good almost 3.5 hours of content coming up. All right. So the headlines. We have got Diddy is astonishingly thinner and grayer after 3 months behind bars as he awaits trial. We've got the shocking similarities between Diddy and Jeffrey revealed in the latest allegations. We've got inside the battle between Jay-Z and the lawyer who's accusing him of the R word. We've had a lot to say on that in the channel in recent days, the NBC hit piece, etc. We've got Jay-Z's lawyers asked to dismiss R-word lawsuit after accuser's interview amid severe legal misconduct. We've got a noughties video. Vixen claims she was presented as a gift to Diddy and performed an act for Jay-Z to prove her worthiness. We've got Jay-Z's son, Ryan Mier, who we had on the channel. Oh, thanks for the membership, Gillian. Doing an article in the Mail. And we've also got a piece that's come out today, how Jay-Z and P. Diddy's staggering empires nearly crumbled years before the R-word allegations. So let us see how many of these we can get through before Charlie Robinson comes in. And all right, Jay-Z's lawyers ask to dismiss R-word lawsuit after accuser's interview amid severe legal misconduct. So, Jay-Z's lawyers are asking to speedily extract Jay-Z from the lawsuit because of the interview with Jane Doe. In the court filing this week, they've cited NBC News and the inconsistencies in the story. And we've been over this. And, you know, Tisa Tells, shout out to her, did a great piece about it. Possibly she meant 2003. And we picked up on that. And we went over the research there as well. And it does fit into 2003. It's just a theory. Find out if anything, any more evidence comes out to support that. Anyway, Jay-Z's lawyers are pursuing this now. They said, when pressed by NBC, Jay-Z's accuser was forced to admit I have made some mistakes. I may have made a mistake in identifying that all the faces there are as clear and that she was guessing about key details, including the time it took to reach the venue. What is more, she admits she does not have a single corroborating witness over the last 24 years. You know, in my opinion, when the NFL said they were backing Jay, it was obvious the club was going to go all out to destroy Jane Doe. And as Jaguar described it last night, they're putting a finger in a dam that's about to burst. So we're going to see what unfolds next. Choke No Joe, shout out to him. I've been watching his content. You know, he was in the mix with these guys. And he's laughing at Jay throwing Diddy under the bus, saying he barely knew him. He barely knew that guy. Only met him at events and awards and sports games. But yeah, we'd love to get Choke No Joe. We've not had his perspective on yet. We do like to have a variety of perspectives on this channel, and some of them conflict. But that, you know, we don't all need to sing off the same hymn sheet. All right, so Jay-Z's legal team said Wednesday that his accusers' unsupported allegations crumble under scrutiny as the evidence and lack thereof reveals glaring inconsistencies and outright impossibilities. They're rhyming now as well. Oh, thanks for the new membership, 3Ms Lewis. Among the inconsistencies included the Jumbotron that wasn't present, according to authorities and MTV personnel, as well as evidence that both Jay and Diddy were photographed at nightclubs after the award show. Jay-Z's legal team said that taken together, the factual inconsistencies, timeline impossibilities, and lack of corroborating evidence make his accusers' allegations wholly unreliable. And all right, let's move on from this one, because we've already hammered the inconsistencies and we've given our rebuttal to this as well, as to it could have been 2003. So inside the battle between Jay-Z and the lawyer who's accusing him of R-word is the next piece. Busby is now suing Jay-Z's entertainment company Roc Nation and the star's law team for allegedly conspiring with and paying some of Busby's former clients to sue his law firm. So we talked about this with Jag last night, how they had people with fake badges from Jay-Z's team trying to solicit information. It's just madness. The lengths, if this is true, if this allegation is true, the lengths these people are going to. It's just in this war against each other. But I guess when there's billions at stake, then, you know, they are going to employ every means possible. So Busby said in his statement, the defendants overstepped, got sloppy, and stupidly got caught in the illegal scheme on tape. Two lawsuits accusing Busby of fraud and other misconduct were filed by his former clients last week. Both plaintiffs are accusing Busby and his firm of abuse and unethical conduct in the handling of two personal injury suits last year. Strange timing, don't you think? Well, there's more to it. One of the lawsuits was filed by Matthew Ray Thompson. He claims Busby's firm intercepted monthly payments he was owed after being injured while working as a deckhand on a vessel that collided with a barge in Houston, Texas Ship Channel in July 2023. Meanwhile, the perpetually glowering Jay-Z, Sean Carter, exploded with self-righteous indignation early this month when Jane Doe made these allegations. And then we went over the statements, we went over the tit for tat. And Team Carter alleges Busby added Jay's name to the lawsuit in revenge after he refused to pay off his accuser with an exorbitant sum, prompting Carter to sue Busby for extortion. Spiral claims Busby's firm is pressuring potential clients to make false accusations in lawsuits. An allegation, of course, Busby's denying. Apparently, Busby's stopped doing interviews for the time being. Like I said, we have reached out with him. We've connected him with Rymea, but we've had no joy in trying to get him back on. But I did hear in one report that he stopped doing lawsuits. And then, you know, there was this thing about Jay-Z calling him out for being a Marine and not having valor. See if there's anything left in this one. All right, yeah. So he's representing more than 200 accusers. Yeah, we've hammered this one. All right, let's go over to Diddy. We've got Diddy is now astonishingly thinner and grayer after 3 months behind bars as he awaits trial. He has lost a huge amount of weight. Only 3 months in. So as discussed with Tommy, you know, when we went over about the prison food, I was in Sheriff Joe Arpaio's Maricopa County Jail for my first 26 months. And the food in there, the breakfast was moldy bread and green bologna for breakfast. There was no lunch, and the evening meal, mystery meat slot we called Red Death. It looked like carroty vomit blended with blood. All kinds of random meat in it, and it stunk. And occasionally there was a dead rat in it. One time we gave a rat back to Sheriff Joe Arpaio's guards, and they said they would investigate. They came back later in the day, and so jail won't get any trouble. They said it was just a potato. And this Sheriff Joe boasted, it costs us more to feed our police dogs than our prisoners. And our police dogs are working for a living. He says it costs less than 50 cents per day to feed each prisoner the rotten food. And I was, you know, I'm almost 15 stone on the British scale right now, which each stone is 14 pounds. But I was only about 11, 12 stone when I went into Sheriff Joe's jail, May 16, 2002, SWAT team raid. And by the time I was at my sentencing hearing, which was 26 months later, I'd lost 2 stone, almost 30 pounds. And my parents said in the sentencing hearing, I looked like a concentration camp survivor. Yeah, so 3 months in, he's already losing weight. I can understand it because you can't eat. You go through, like, you're looking at this food that you can't eat, and you're stressed out because of the amount of time you're facing in your case and all the mayhem around you. You've got no appetite. It's raw survival. And you wait. You start to deteriorate rapidly. You wait. So, yeah. And the stress is the worst in the first 3 months because you've got the shock of the newly incarcerated. You're adapting. And the last thing you're thinking about is food. You're thinking about getting your life back. The sentence you're facing is the biggest thing because it's the uncertainty hanging over your head. And you're also thinking about, you know, how dangerous your environment is. The environment I was in, Sheriff Joe Arpaio's jail, the National Geographic Banged Up Abroad, Locked Up Abroad episode said 57 people died in there around the time I was there. And you can Google these cases like Brian Crenshaw, Scott Norberg. One was classified as a blind shoplifter. Another was a mentally ill man. And the guards murdered these people in front of the cameras. In these cases, the family sued the jail and got compensation, millions in compensation. But it was intense. All right, so Diddy is looking shockingly thin at his latest hearing, according to a journalist who attended on Wednesday. Law and Crime reporter, Law and Crime, shout out to them. I've been watching them. They've been doing some brilliant work. Elizabeth Milner was quoted by Page Six saying after the hearing, he appeared just astonishingly thinner, which you can expect from him being inside a federal detention center for a couple of months now. A lot different from the luxury lifestyle that he was living before, but he appeared very noticeably thinner, and maybe being locked up in detention is starting to work on him. Yeah, I realized before I got incarcerated, I was eating 3 meals a day that I didn't need, or 4. I thought, yeah, you have your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your supper. And when you go through starvation and you're dreaming about food, you're thinking about food all the time, you get through that. And eventually you settle into a routine of just eating when you're hungry. And I've learned, you know, since I've got out, I've never gone back to eat as much. I only eat now really when I'm hungry. But I was programmed from childhood, breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, putting all that food in my system that I didn't really need. All right, so Diddy was starkly different from how he looked in a video that surfaced of him online playing hacky sack in Central Park days before he was arrested on September 16th, 2024. She added that the rapper's hair has also changed, saying he appeared grayer a little bit. That would be the stress. If you're facing a life sentence, you know, and he's compounded his own woes by having this weapon with the serial number filed off it. Anything like that is going to aggravate your sentence. You're looking at big time. So the uncertainty is definitely going to impact his hair color, I reckon, if he's appearing a little grayer. Unless he was putting the fake color on it when he was outside. Cameras were not allowed inside the courtroom during Diddy's appearance. But a source said to Page Six, he is fit, healthy, and fully focused on his defense. He's been very active, remains in good spirits, and as always, he was happy to see his children. Page Six added, it has been told he's also working out regularly. People are working out all the time. There's no weights in there because they get weaponized. So what people do is they just use the day room. Like, there's four octagonal steel tables bolted to the floor with these stools bolted to them. So people are doing dips off the back of them. There's like stairs going up to the upper tier, metal grid stairs. They wrap the pink Sheriff Joe socks around them. And then they do the pull-ups on the stairs, assisted pull-ups or regular pull-ups. Or if you've got like buckets of water and mops, they use buckets of water to do the bicep curls or the rows. Or even like if they can get enough books, heavy books, and put them in like a sweater, they can use that as a weight as well. My encyclopedias and my big dictionaries were eyed many a time by some of these guys. Okay, so we know that Diddy's been denied bail three times and that he's withdrawn. One of the previous news stories that I did was that he'd withdrawn all this bail stuff, which made us speculate as to whether he's taking a plea or he doesn't want any more records of why they're not releasing him to be entered into the court record that could be used to aggravate his sentence. Because when it does get to that sentencing hearing, your behavior now really counts. So if you act up pre-trial and say certain things, even protesting your innocence, if you get found guilty and he's getting sentenced, the judge could say, well, you know, the prosecutor would say, look, he's been protesting his innocence. He's not accepting responsibility or showing any remorse. So when he does get found guilty, if he does, you know, of course, I always have to add, there's a presumption of innocence. He's pre-trial and he's fighting it. And he said he's going to go to trial and fight this. But if he does get found guilty, he can't protest his innocence any longer at that stage because they will give you the super aggravated maximum sentence for not showing remorse. Once you are found guilty, you must bow down and show remorse. There are situations where people are innocent and they won't let them out. Remember the story of Khalif Browder, Netflix, the kid that ended up in Rikers? They said he stole the backpack and he hadn't done it and he protested his innocence all the way. They said they would let him out the next day if he just signed guilt and you know, admitted he'd done it when he hadn't. And he wouldn't sign guilt. And he stayed in there and bad, horrific things happened to him. And there are people who they believe in the justice system. They think it's not corrupt and the truth is going to prevail. But it is so corrupt. Even if you are innocent, if you are found guilty, you better pretend to be remorseful. Otherwise, they're going to aggravate that sentence. All right, so prosecutors reportedly gathered a large triumph of information against Diddy. The rapper wished those gathered outside the courtroom a happy holidays on his way out. He thanked his lawyers before adding, I just want to say goodbye. Two of his kids, Christian and Justin, appeared in court and gestured at the fathers with the hands folding in prayer. He responded by waving at Christian and Justin, and neither paid any attention to the reporters begging for answers as they left. The brief reunion apparently could not lift their spirits as the Daily Mail cameras spotted the two men appearing grim-faced upon leaving the courtroom. He is denying all the charges against him. His lawyers are maintaining his innocence. And he's facing more than two dozen SA cases in New York and California. So let me see if there is any more. Let's have a look. We've got the shocking similarities. Charlie Robinson is coming in 5 minutes, folks. If you're new to the channel, he's an absolute class act. He's got such good vibes. He's a charming man, a great speaker. but he's done a hell of a lot of research on the NWO, the Bush crime family, the Cheney crime family, and his book, The Octopus of Global Control, is absolutely brilliant. It's available as an audiobook now. And if you guys are looking for something for Christmas, I have written 17 books myself, and they're available on Amazon as well in all formats. All right, so shocking similarities between Diddy and Epstein revealed in the latest allegations. So this comes from Daily Mail's podcast, Trial of Diddy attorney Lisa Bloom, who is representing Danity Kane. She said there was plenty of complicit enablers around Diddy, and we are hoping and waiting that some of these enablers get named in, you know, additional indictments. Bloom said, quote, "It reminds me very much of Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein had a whole operation with Ghislaine Maxwell and other recruiters. And similarly with Sean Combs, we think there's a lot of people and companies who are complicit and we name them. Well, of course, those people don't like being named." They certainly don't, because if you guys remember when we started covering that case, the Jeffrey case, we became the tip of the spear for a bit. We had 60 million views on that story, and it all got wiped off the channel. And that's when all the campaigns started against me and all hell broke loose and all the trolls and all of the... And that's the sad thing I'm seeing now with the Diddy case. In the beginning of the Epstein case, all of the people reporting on the Epstein case were working together. And now in the Diddy case, we're seeing, you know, a lot of these different YouTubers falling out with each other. And it's sad. Everybody just needs to be unified and stay focused, because this is how the bad guys get away with things, by dividing and conquering the people who are reporting on them. So like I said last night, I send much love to all channels. And I you know, I don't harbor any ill will towards anyone, no matter what they say about me. I know it's all nonsense. All right, so Bloom said, since Richard filed a lawsuit against Combs' associates in September, some have responded against the allegations and have tried to distance themselves from Diddy. Richard is suing for SA, breach of contract, false imprisonment, forced labor, violation of Beep Act, and battery. Wow. So Jeffrey faced similar charges of the transportation and conspiracy, but unlike Diddy, he was accused of transportation and engaging in acts with dozens of minors, some as young as 14. And we saw he got the pass, didn't he, the first time round with Acosta and all that stuff. He said it was above his pay grade because Epstein was tied into intelligence. And he was tied into some of the biggest, most powerful families in the world on the political side and the intelligence side, which made that story more dangerous to report on, I believe. But anyway, even though all the stuff was taken down, I've got a couple of books out on that subject, including Who Killed Epstein and Elite Predators. All my work ended up put into those two books. Epstein never faced the charges. He died, and we know the official version, absolute poppycock. Maxwell ended up with 20 years, and I still suspect she's going to get Bill Cosby'd out with some backsheesh kicked down to a high court judge because of her association with the Clintons. Anyway, it is almost Christmas, folks. I hope everyone's having a great time. Ron has got all kinds of special Christmas stuff ready, hours and hours of content. And I'm just going to go over to the other online studio right now and check if my dear friend Charlie Robinson is ready to talk about Jay-Z, Beyonce, Diddy, the club, and the NWO, because I'm sure he's going to be very happy to answer all of your questions. Yeah, I can see him. He's in the online studio right now, and I am about to end the stream. So what we'll do is customize over to the new stream, which means when this one ends, it will transfer you over. If it doesn't, just click on the channel icon. It will say that we are live, and hope to see some of all y'all in a moment with Charlie. Thank you for tuning in. We're just getting going.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy.
Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,